when I was about 15. My football coach convinced me to go out for track. I know I look like a runner, right? Yeah, don't answer that. Jim, don't answer that. I was going to do the shot put and the discus. And that's all I intended on doing until one day we were short on runners and we were at a track meet in Gardendale, Alabama, and the coach said, "Kraft, get in there and run this 440. 440. For those of you who don't know, that's one full lap around that wide track around the football field, okay? And I'm going to tell you, man, I was game. I got in there, and around the first curve, I was right in the middle of the pack. Coming around the second curve, going to go down the back stretch over there, they started pulling out in front of me. By the time we got to the far end of the track, before you made that last curve around, they were way ahead of me. When I rounded the last curve and started coming down the home stretch, they were sitting down already. And my coach stood out on the track and said, "Get off the track." Didn't even want me to finish. That's my claim to fame. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Oh, I will never be in the Hall of Fame like you, Coach. I'm telling that story for a reason, though. Even if you have speed and you are in good shape, in a relay race, the handoff can make or break the whole race. They're running at top speed. The goal is to hand the baton to the next guy in line without losing speed and without fumbling the handoff. But when that little baton hit the ground, the race was over. And since we're celebrating our graduates today, I want to talk to you about handing off the baton. Passing the baton. Because here's the reality. Everyone sitting in this room, you have something that God wants you to hand off. You have something to contribute to the race called life, called the kingdom of God. And see, life really is a relay race. You've got one generation that God teaches lessons, and they have experiences, and they have these stories of God's intervention, but there comes a point where they need to deposit all of that in someone else so they can spread it and carry it on. And what happens many times just between us and the peoples God's given us influence with, or certainly between the generations, when we fumble the handoff, something's lost. The race may not be over for us, but something is lost, precious. And I just want to talk to you about this for a few minutes. Because it's not enough to have skills and drive. We must be able to hand off what we've learned, what we've earned, what we've prayed for and yearned for. We must be able to pass it on and give it to someone else. Whether you're 80 or you're 18, you have something to pass on. I don't know if they do it now for you high school graduates, but when I was graduating high school, way back in the day, we had this little thing where everybody did their last will and testament. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I've seen your so-and-so gonna leave this to my younger classmates. Anybody ever, do they do that anymore, that stuff? Yeah, me and Patty, we know about it, yeah. We got it. I just want to ask you today, what are you passing off to other people? I'm talking about spiritual benefits here. I'm talking about knowledge. I'm talking about experience. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about skill. What are you passing off? And what are you receiving? What are you receiving? really the question boils down to a couple of questions, and it's this. What have I done with what I've been given? What have I done with what I've been given? What have you done with what you've been given? As a matter of fact, Jesus says these words. He says in Luke chapter 12, I believe it is, he says, to whom much has been given, what? Much is required, right? I really believe this, that one day every one of us are going to stand in front of Jesus, and the primary question is not going to be how good were you, how bad were you. The primary question is not going to be how much did you sin or not sin. The primary question is going to be this: what did you do with what I gave you? Not what I gave Pastor Gary, not what I gave Renee, not what I gave T. Pruitt. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be, I gave you a certain package of potential and opportunity and knowledge and experience. What did you do with it? What'd you do with it? That's not going to determine our eternal destiny. That's not even the point. But there will be an accounting. There will be an accounting of some sort. The other question is this: are you preparing to hand off to others what you've been entrusted with? Listen, some of you are sitting here today. I know how this works in a lot of people's minds, and I want to just debunk this thought right now. Some of you are sitting here and thinking in your mind, I don't have anything of real value to pass off to anybody. And I'm going to just tell you straight up, that's a lie from hell. Well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. And I've made mistakes. And I've got this in my past. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm not educated. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'll tell you what you are. If you've been born again, you're a child of the living God. And He has spoken to you in certain ways, or you wouldn't be saved if He had not spoken to you. You can't come to Jesus unless He draws you. And the Spirit of God has drawn you, and He has said things to you, and He has afforded you experiences, and He has afforded you relationships that have enriched your life, and He doesn't expect you just to go on your merry way and enjoy it, or even just appreciate it. He has ordained that you share it. That's the way of Jesus. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and give His life for a ransom for many. And we are followers of Jesus. And whatever He has afforded me in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, whatever I've learned from it, whatever it has developed within me, whatever knowledge I have achieved, whatever anointing I have been able to operate in, He wants me to share it. Am I preparing to do that? Are you preparing to do that? And I will say this. I don't care if you're 12 years old. If you're born again, you have something to share. You have something to pass on. And my question is even to you, are you preparing to do that? Are you looking for opportunities to invest in the people around you? Paul said this in 2 Timothy as he was preparing to exit the scene. He was preparing to hand the baton to his disciple, his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says this: you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. What's he saying? Get ready to hand the baton off. I'm handing it to you, Timothy. Who are you going to hand it to? Because here's what most of us know. And you've heard this saying, many of you, the church is only one generation away from extinction. Why? Because God doesn't have grandchildren. Are you with me? I mean, some of you may not understand what I'm saying. Let me explain it this way. We're all born again. If we're born again, we're children of God, not grandchildren. The next generation, your children, your grandchildren, have to have an experience with God all their own. They can't ride on your experience. They have to experience the reality of Jesus. And it may be your testimony. It may be your download of experience and wisdom that leads them to that point where they take the baton and they take the church another generation. I mean, you do realize we've got some amazing young people in this church and graduates, but there's a lot of churches where graduates, when they get their diploma, they leave the church in the dust behind them and never look back. This is a problem all through America. Many young people, once they graduate and take a different direction and start living somewhere on campus, wherever, they're done with church. Many of them are done with Jesus. We can't afford that. They can't afford that. Paul knew this well. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the days will grow increasingly evil. And because, according to Scriptures, things are going to get tough somewhere down the road, maybe tomorrow, maybe a decade from now, the generation that takes the baton better have a double portion to stand strong and speak up and stand up and live the faith, because it's not going to be convenient much longer. Amen? It's not going to be convenient. I could go on and on about that, but I won't. I think we all realize it. What we pass on to our kids and our grandkids is the point. It's the point. A famous handoff of the baton in the Old Testament was Elijah and Elisha. I just want to read a few verses because I believe they represented two generations. And the question was this: can Elijah leave a legacy, and can Elisha receive it? Can Elijah leave a legacy, and can Elisha receive it and go on and keep progressing the kingdom of God? What will Elisha do with the legacy that Elijah leaves him? So let's read together 2 Kings Chapter 2, start with verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan River. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and the left, and the two of them walked over on dry ground. Sound familiar? When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. We need that. Elisha replied, you've asked a difficult thing. Elijah said, yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. And he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. I know that gets some of you. It gets me. I'm going to tell you, we need a double portion to move forward in these days. We need a double portion of the power and the grace and the wisdom of God. How do we pass the baton? Elijah experienced God's power. He heard God's voice. He obeyed God's will. He modeled God's ways for Elisha. There's two or three things that I believe that particularly the older generation in this church and other churches in America can do to leave their mantle, their cloak, their anointing, their wisdom, their knowledge, their heart, that they can do to hand the baton to someone else and share what God has done in them. The first thing is, they need to leave their mantle for the next generation, but they got to find somebody who wants it. I'm especially moved this morning. And I just believe God is all over this. And please don't take this as just another message. I believe it's a message for this church today. Don't die with your stories still in you. I'm talking to you old folks. Yeah, I ain't one yet. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Boy, that was funnier than it should have been. I had a birthday this week. I did. The word is mature. Thank you. Ah, darling, she came to the rescue. Thank you. Listen to me. There's some of you who are very mature. You won't be here 10 years from now. Now that's real, isn't it? I'm begging you. Don't die with your stories untold. Don't die with your wisdom unshared. Don't die and go on to be with Jesus without investing in somebody that needs what God has done in you and for you and through you for 40, 50, 60, 70 years, some of you. You say, but nobody wants to know. I'm on old this or that, and I don't know technology, and I don't. Let me tell you something. I believe it's your God-given responsibility to try again to share what God's spoken to you and what God's done in you and what He has done through you and what you know and what you have seen, because we need you. That leads us to the second thing that you can do, all you mature people. Dare build relationships that wisdom can travel over. Because it's not easy trying to get to know and share and invest in some of the people that are coming behind you. They hadn't been where you've been, and they don't understand, nor can they. But that doesn't absolve you from a responsibility to try to leave a mantle for them, because they're going to need everything God did in you for years. They're going to need it. We're going to need it. I'm talking to some of you that are old enough to be my parents, so I'll say I'm the next generation, even though I'm mature. You've seen things that the kids that we just celebrated here this morning have not yet seen. nor maybe will they, if you don't make a commitment to build a bridge to them that your wisdom can walk over and influence their perspective, and maybe, if nothing else, make them hungry for something more real and more profound and more powerful than the latest Google whatever. They need to know the God of Jacob. They need to know the God of Moses. They need to know the God of David. And you know Him! I'm just asking you, will you dare reach out to people coming behind you, even though they don't understand everything you've been through, nor can they? Will you just try? Will you just try? Will you pray for them? Don't let technology and the latest trends intimidate you out of risking to connect with younger people. You've been courageous. You've weathered some storms. COVID wasn't your first storm. Some of you grew up in the Depression. COVID wasn't your first rodeo. You remember polio. I'm going to talk to the younger folks in a minute. Just hang with me. I'm telling you, this is not a sermon. This is a word from God. You can take it or you can leave it. This is a word from God. Don't assume that the generations behind you will reject you if you show interest, if you pray for them, and you offer to invest enough time for them to see you model what you declare to them. Even though there's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God, there are grandparents. And you can model some things for the generation coming behind you. You can pray with an insight and a wisdom and a faith that's born out of experience with God. The issue is, will you? I'm not talking about your family either. I'm assuming you're doing this for your family. I'm talking about for the family. Because there's people here who don't have a history with God. They need spiritual grandparents that say, been there, done that, got the scars, know the traps, hit the potholes. I can help you. That's what we need. The third thing is this: take inventory. I'm talking about to the mature generation. Take inventory and ask yourself, what wisdom, if I could boil it down into a serum and pour it into my grandkids, what would it include? What kind of wisdom would there be? What key truths that I have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. What key truths would I download if they would just give me the time of day? What would I say? And I'm saying to you, older generation, ask God to help you codify the lessons He's taught you over the decades. Ask Him to help you verbalize and reverbalize and reverbalize until you can connect with us and show us and tell us things that you have experienced and lived. Not ideas you heard about. We all got those. But things you put to the test, and you've got a story to prove it worked. That's what we need from you. Take inventory and ask yourself, what wisdom do I want to download if God gives me the chance? Pray over it, verbalize it, ask for feedback, reframe it, use stories. But by all means, prepare yourself to download, because I believe that after today, somebody is going to give you an opportunity to invest in them. Now, that's for the Elijahs in the house. Oh, I know, you might not have called fire out of heaven and destroyed the prophets of Baal, but I go back to this fact. Regardless of how qualified or how full you think you are of wisdom or whatever, you still got something to give, and we need it. We need everything you learned about God over the last span of your life. We need it all. We need it. Now, for the Elishas in the house. Yeah, and it's like 3 minutes till 12. I'm sorry. If you got to leave, watch it on Facebook. Thank God for technology. I hate technology. Thank God for technology. I love technology. Elisha, be willing to receive the mantle of those who have blazed the trail, those who have sacrificed, prayed, invested money, time, and tears. Be willing to receive from them, young Elisha. Because whether you see it right now or not, you need what they got. Value the mantle enough to ask for it. Young people, young adults, other mature people like me, ask for it. Go to one of these gray-haired, bald-headed folks and say, tell me what you know about my Jesus. Tell me how you know it. Tell me your story. Tell me what you learned by walking with Jesus for decades. Tell me what you've seen. Tell me the pickles you were in. Tell me the giants you saw fall. Tell me how. And pray for me. I hope you can tell why this matters to me. Value the mantle enough to ask for it. Whose counsel do you take seriously, young people? Whose counsel do you really take seriously? If you need guidance and you even realize you need guidance, who are you going to go to? Google? Oh, listen, I understand. I read a statistic yesterday that blew my mind. Let me see if I can find it here. The amount of data, this was written in 2004. The amount of data generated in the next 2 years will exceed the total amount created for the last 400 centuries. Oh, I know you can find just about anything on Google, but I'll tell you what you can't find. You can't find wisdom. Because wisdom is applied truth. But there's people sitting in this room that's got it. Are you willing to go for it and ask for it? Ask for their testimonies. Ask for wisdom. Ask for insight. Ask for prayer support. Ask for a double anointing. Next thing is long for something more powerful and profound than the latest trend or public approval. I understand things change every day in our culture. Fashions, attitudes, opinions. And we already talked about how data increases exponentially every day. But long for something deeper and more profound and more lasting than yesterday's factoids. Because those things will change with the wind, with the weather. But this will never change. And somebody that understands this book, and somebody that's lived it, and somebody that's seen it work, you need what they got. Finally, run to win. Be ready to apply what you received to extend the kingdom in your days. Any of you ever been to a yard sale and saw an item that you saw some value in, but you didn't value it like the person that made it or the person that treasured it for 50 years, right? Some of the things that the older generation needs to pass off to us, we don't value it because we don't know the sweat and the tears and the agony and the searching and the seeking and the serving that it took. I'll tell you what I believe the older generation really wants, and because I've separated myself from them by a few years, maybe I shouldn't speak for them, but I will say this. They very badly want to know that when they pass the baton off, we're going to run with it. We're going to run with it. We're going to fight the fight. We're not going to drop the baton. We're not going to drop the truth. We're not going to cave in and get compromised and distracted until the church becomes just a pitiful social club with some spiritual mottos that we like to quote. But we're going to dig in and we're going to give our hearts to Jesus, and we're going to pay the price and we're going to pray the price, and we're going to stand up for truth even if it cost us, and we're going to dig into the Word and we're going to let it shape us instead of us trying to manipulate the Word. They want to know that when they pass this baton off, we're going to run with that thing. I'm going to read the rest of Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering. That's an invitation for the next generation. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. And then a third illustration he uses is the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. What's Paul saying to Timothy? He's saying, listen, I need you to hand the baton off to some people. But you got to understand there's some attitudes that need to be in place for them to carry the baton well. And here's three of them. Number one is, we'll call it the battle metaphor. Decide you'll take up the battle with all diligence. I just expressed this just now. I believe the older generation wants to know that the younger generation is going to engage the enemy and fight to the death for the truth and the love and the kingdom and the cause of Jesus. Because if they don't, it's over. But they will. They will. We will. Decide you'll take up the battle with all diligence, obeying the commander, not the crowd. You have an enemy. Your Elijahs want to know you will fight and take it to the next level. It's a sacred trust worth fighting for. The continuance of God's plan, the Great Commission. And as I said, the church is one generation from extinction. The older generation needs to know that the rest of us will take it to the next level. into the next level of conflict, the next level of crisis. I preached about this a few months ago. The wave is coming, the wave of trouble, but also the wave of revival. There is opportunity in front of us. And the people that take the baton have to determine in our hearts that we will not drop it. Give me a double portion. Two other things we need to decide. Decide we'll follow the principles of Scripture. Go back. Decide we'll follow the principles of Scripture, not trends. Let me tell you something. There is an all-out attack on the veracity and the dependability and the integrity of God's Word in our culture today. People are doing everything in their power to discredit the reliability of the Scriptures, and we cannot be the generation that lets go of that. Everything else is lost if we lose the integrity of the Scriptures. Paul says, listen, if you're going to run in this race, you've got to compete according to the rules. What I get out of that is this. You've got to live by the principles of God's truth or you're not going to make it. I don't care what TikTok and Google and Facebook and whatever says. And we're on Facebook this morning. That's not the point. Who is the authority in your life? Do you have true north laid out according to the truth of God's Word? And if you ever let go of that, you're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be a train wreck like the rest of our culture. And that's why they're a train wreck now. They let go of the authority of God's Word in their lives. Third thing is this, and he says, listen, the farmer that plants the seed, he should be the first one gets the crop. Here's the problem. More than ever in my lifetime, and I think in history, more than ever in history, I think I'm safe to say this, we are an instant generation. We want what we want, and we want it now, and we want it easy and cheap. And I am telling you, there's some things of the kingdom of God that they have to be planted, they have to be watered, they have to be fertilized, they have to be nurtured, they have to be prayed over, and everything is not instant. And if you want instant, you're going to be on the outside looking in of the kingdom of God. God works according to processes. And I believe that last thing that Paul was saying to Timothy is decide you'll invest in the long game. And not demand instant impact. I'm going to get another testimony here. And a show of hands. How many of you've been praying about something in your... All those of you who said you had a prayer answered, raise your hand. Raise it again. All of you who have prayed about something for 10 years or more and it hasn't happened yet, keep your hand up. Keep it up. Look around. Everything in the kingdom isn't instant. It may be miraculous, but it's not instant. And if you're not willing to invest in the long game, if you're not willing to plant seeds that you may not live to see their fruit, if you're not willing to do that, you're going to derail your destiny and your function in the kingdom of God. Are you willing to plant seeds and nurture and water them with your tears and your prayers for the sake of somebody coming behind you? You know what I see is I see Elisha walking with Elijah and he wouldn't take his eyes off of him. And he says, why don't you just stay here, Elisha? He said, yeah, I ain't going to let you out of my sight. Wherever you go, I'm going. If you stay, I stay. If you jump, I jump. If you be quiet, I'm quiet. If you want to talk, I will talk. But I am keeping you in my sight. This is about relationship. And there is a walk with God that is what is required for God to do and accomplish some things in and through us that will come no other way. And I just want to know, are you willing to walk that road? I'm going to ask you to do something here. I know it's 10 after. I get it. But I'm going to ask you to respond to this in just a minute. I just want to tell you one story, another story from the Bible that was a bad handoff where the baton was dropped. A wicked granddaughter of Jezebel, Athaliah, was the queen mother in Judah. Her son died and she took over. And she tried to kill every descendant of King Jehoram. And the priest Jehoiada was able to secretly hide the last living seed of David, hide him away from the wicked queen mother until he became 7 years old, and the priest brought him out and displayed him to the nation. And they made a covenant with him and with the people and with God as the new king successor. They killed wicked Athaliah, and young Joash took the throne. Everything went well until his mentor, his Elijah, the priest Jehoiada, until he died. After he died, Joash began listening to his buddies. He succumbed to the seduction of the culture around him. You see, Athaliah tried to destroy his whole generation, but the man of God stepped in and saved him, and reared him, and trained him, and invested in him, and did everything that I just described that this older generation would like to do for you. He did all that. But after he died, Joash dropped the baton. Joash was seduced by the culture. He was convinced by his peers. And he ended up having Jehoiada's son killed because his son confronted him about his wickedness. And instead of listening and repenting, he commanded his soldiers to kill the prophet of God. He dropped the baton. He dropped it because he let the culture set his destiny and his attitude and his perspective instead of listening to the counsel of God. We can't afford that. Neither could they. It plunged them into a pit of wickedness that was horrible. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask everybody that's 65 and up, if you just want to respond to this message and say, I don't know exactly what all I have to give, but I'm willing to seek God and find out a way to pass on what God's blessed me with, whether that's knowledge or it's anointing or it's insight or wisdom or just your stories of God's amazing faithfulness, you don't want to die with that in you. You want to be able to hand the baton to people coming behind you. If that's your desire, I want you to come and stand around this front right now. Come on. It's 15 after. Let's do this. You want to do that. You want to do that. I'm not asking you to come just because you're a certain age. I'm asking you, if you want, face that way. Stand all the way around from one side all the way to the other. Spread out and face that way. Come on. Come on. Spread. If you got to go down that wall, that's fine. You got to go down that wall, that's fine. Come on, y'all. Y'all scoot down, squinch up, do whatever we got to do. I want everybody to have a place here. Some of you are having flashbacks from about 4 years ago, and that's okay. Here's what I want you to do, folks, the rest of you. If you want to receive wisdom and insight and testimonies of God's faithfulness and goodness that will enhance your life, It doesn't matter which one of these people. I'm not asking you to judge, well, does this one have more wisdom to give, and that one's got more anointing, and that one's got more experience, and this one's got better stories. I'm not asking you to judge any of that. Because something's about to shift in this house. Something's about to shift in this house. You say, what's going to shift? I don't know. I just know this is a God thing this morning. Here's what I'm asking the rest of you. Do you want the mantle? Do you want a double portion of what God has downloaded? Let's just take this group as a whole. Because I'm going to tell you, there's wisdom and there's insight and there's experience and there's stories of God's faithfulness and there's anointing in this group. It's here. I'm just asking, do you have a heart to receive a baton? Do you have a heart that says, I'm going to go after the mantle? I'm going after the double portion. I'm going after a deeper, more profound understanding of who God is and how He works, because I'm going to need it in the days to come. I just want you to come stand in front of one of these people. Just come on. Come on. Please don't wait. Just come on. You don't even have to pick them. Just come to the first one and stand in front of them. Come on. Spread around. And hey, if you got to go too deep, that's fine too. If you got to go too deep, that's fine. Hey, push chairs back if you have to. This is too important. Come on. Stand too deep. Just you coming forward is what God's looking for this morning, okay? Just you coming forward. Come on, y'all step up a little bit, or y'all come on around. This is basically everybody in the house. You people that I asked to come up here first, you mature generation, I want you to lay hands on everybody in front of you. Come on, just lay hands on them right now. Say, oh God, give them hunger and thirst. Give them hunger and thirst. Give them desire. Give them desire. Give them desire for the fullness of the kingdom. Lord God, open their spirit to receive wisdom and insight and knowledge. God, give it to them in Jesus' name. Lord God, make them hungry. Make them thirsty for something real, something tested, something tried, something true. Oh God, something lived out in Jesus' name. Oh God, build bridges of that wisdom can walk over. Oh God, give them hope that there is a better way. There is a better day. Oh God, there is a greater power. There is a greater grace. There is a greater wisdom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God, build bridges this morning. Change attitudes. Change attitudes. Change attitudes. Let there be a shift in this house, oh God. Let there be a shift in this house, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Now, I know there's people kind of back down the aisles, and they can't even reach you. But folks, if you can, reach between people. You mature saints, reach between people and touch that next person back if you can. And if not, just stretch your hand toward where they're standing right now. They're standing in this aisle. They're standing in this aisle. In Jesus' name, we pray you would extend. You would extend the mantle to these standing in this aisle, Lord. You would extend the mantle standing in this aisle, Lord. You would extend the mantle. Lord, you would relay the blessing of generations. You would relay the blessing of generations of experience, of tested truth, of tested truth. Now, here's what I want you to do. No, y'all don't sit down yet. I want the younger generation that's being prayed for now, I want you to pray for the older generation, that God would give them articulation, that He would jog their memories of things they might have already forgotten. Pray for them. Pray for this older generation, folks. Pray that God would give them words to speak, that God would give them just a concise way to express the truth that God has birthed in their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give strength and grace to this generation. Lord, give them, sustain them, Lord. Give them stamina that they might be able to download their experience and their anointing. Give them stamina. Give them grace. Give them strength. Enable them, Lord, to conceptualize in their mind how to express their wisdom and their experiences. And Lord, how to share the anointing You've put on their lives, oh God. Help them. Help them. Sustain them, Lord. Sustain them. They're weary, many of them. Lord, some of them struggle with so much sickness, Lord God, and physical ailments and mental challenges. Right now, I pray You would give them new life. Give this older generation more days, Lord, to invest in Your kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Here's what I want everybody to do. First of all, if you're the one that came up to get prayed for initially, the younger generations, I want to challenge you to do a couple of things. Number one is find out that person's name if you don't know it. And just ask them, hey, can I have your phone number so I can call you with my prayer request? That you could just partner with me and just pray for me. I challenge you to do that. Now, I didn't ask these people standing up here, this older crowd, I didn't ask them if they would be willing to give their phone number. And they may not be, but, you know, we're not trying to have a, this is, you know. But here's the thing. At the very least, give that person your name if you don't think they know your name and ask them to pray for you. I'm talking about after we leave here. And I'm going to challenge the older guys here. Start praying that God would knit your heart to someone that's coming behind you. Someone you can invest in. Someone that's hungry, somebody that has a teachable spirit, somebody that wants to mine the riches of your experience in Jesus. I mean, I challenge you, ask some of these people you've prayed for to go out to eat with you. Take them with you, your family, and just go out to eat. And just ask them their story. Just get people to tell their story. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You would build bridges right now. I just pray You'd build bridges. It may not be the person standing in front of one of us that the bridge will be built to, but someone coming behind, someone receiving the baton, someone receiving the mantle. Lord, I pray that You would make the generations coming behind give us a desire to mine those riches of the experiences of this generation in faith. And Lord, give us a double portion. Whatever way You've blessed this older generation, give us a double portion of the goodness You've worked in their lives. Give us a double portion of the miracle stories. Give us a double portion of the answered prayers. Give us a double portion of the sacrifice and the heart, the servant heart of Jesus that is reflected in these people so deeply. Give us a double portion of that servant's heart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Would you just greet one another? Hallelujah. May God bless you as you go. May God bless you with hunger and thirst for His fullness, with compassion for the lost and the broken, with a sense of urgency and eternity, with a confidence He can and will use you, with unity of heart with His purposes and people, with wisdom and courage. Go. Go in the peace of God.